Hallelujah. Let's all reverently worship God the Father on Lord's Day, August 13, 2023. Let us pray together. First of all, we pray that your word will always settle in our heart and hold our spirit, minds, and body, so that our weekly worship will not be in vain. Bless us that we may offer a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you. This past week, Father, you have given each of us time and opportunity to do things, and let us examine ourselves to see if we have made good use of them. God, Father, who is working tirelessly for us even today, please grant us the precious work of the holding and the preaching the word that you have given us in return for your grace, and let us pray unceasingly for the saints and the church. May the day come soon when the church will be complete and we will all together in one place for joyful praise, prayer, and worship. We believe that the Father's work will surely be accomplishes through us if the feast of prayer, which seeks to gather and cling to the Father, does not cease in the church. Do not let us grow weary, but let us add face to face through the grace you give us day by day. You have invited us today with your precious word, and we pray that you will preserve us in mind, body, and spirit through the Holy Trinity, so that not one of us will return ungrateful. In every word that we ask and desire, we pray earnestly in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Today's scripture reading is, we have two places. The first one is Luke chapter 22, verse 39 to 45. And second is Hebrew chapter 5, verse 7. Hebrew chapter 5, 7. I let the read Luke chapter 22, 39 to 45. And he came out and proceeded as was his custom to the mountain, Mount of Olives, and the disciples also followed him. And when he arrived at the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptations." And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and began to pray, saying, "Father, if thou art willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but thine be done." Now an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him, and being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. And when he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping from sorrow. The second one is Hebrew chapter 5, verse 7. In the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplication with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his pity. Today's title is With Precious Sweat, Tears, and Blood. With Precious Sweat, Tears, and Blood. Through the disobedience of the first man, Adam and Eve, death came to the whole human race. We can find out the Romans chapter 5, verse 12 to 14. The Apostle Paul saw the effect of Adam's fall not only on all men, but on the whole created world. He heard the groaning of the creation in pain, and the sound of will it enduring in the anguish, waiting for the day of redemption. According to the Romans chapter 8, verse 22, For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. Not only that, but the Apostle Paul also heard the groaning of the Christians who have been made new through Jesus, but who were still weak in the flesh and could not be free from the power of sin and death. According to the Romans chapter 8, verse 23, and not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. It is a groaning that we endure in anticipation of the day when we will be freed from the body of sin and death and return to the way we were truly created by God. Today, are you and I listening to the groaning of creation like the Apostle Paul as we anxiously await the day of redemption? May we don't hear the groaning of the creation. Maybe we don't hear the groaning of the saints. But at the very least, are we groaning in our own heart as we look at this world waiting for the day of redemption? Or are we only making groaning noise as we go about our days, eating, drinking, buying, selling, and suffering because of the cares of the world and the lack of possessions? After the fall of Adam, all creatures are waiting for the revealing of the sons of God, eagerly longing to be delivered from the curse brought about by sin, unable to fulfill their original purpose of creation and decaying day by day. In the Romans chapter 8, 19, verse 21, the Apostle Paul clearly talked to us. For the anxious longing of the creation wait eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to fertility not of its own will, but because of him who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Unable to free themselves from this, the creatures live in hope for the day when you and I, who have become sons of God through faith in Jesus, will appear and free them from the bondage of corruption. However, we seem to lack interest in the liberation of creation. We simplistically think that as long as we believe in Jesus and receive salvation for ourselves, everything is fine. Yet, isn't even our faith swayed by our mood and personal gain? Surely, if we are living with the awareness that we are God's children, just as God entrusted all things to Adam, we should live with the consciousness of being steward of creations. When we have the obligation and the responsibility to redeem what has been subject to suffering, our faith life cannot afford to become complacent. Fulfilling our mission as true son of God is not something that just as one can do even if they believe in Jesus. For example, the beautiful pearls are not made by all clams. Of the many types of clam, only the mother of a pearl clam is capable of making pearls. And in its natural state, there is only 1 in 10,000 chance that it will be produced a pearl worthy of being treated as a gemstone. A pearl is formed when a foreign substance, such as sand or the parasite, enters the clam bodies, the clam sacrification carbonate the cold nacre to encase the foreign substance in order to defend itself against the invading substance. It is usually take 2 or 3 years for a pearl to form, during which time the clam goes through a lot of pain. But if the clam doesn't enclose the foreign object and ignores it, it will cause an infection, and the clam will die. In the same way, when difficulties or suffering come into our face, believers look to God and pray fervently, even in the midst of tears, pain, suffering, and death. They try to be victorious somehow with the word they have received. But some people give up altogether in the midst of the same suffering and adversity. Their prayers go unanswered. They cling to God. They rely on the ways of the world to find a solution. And they diligently go to see people, but in the end, they fall apart. There must be tearful prayer for God's will and sweaty labor to fulfill the mission given to us. There must be opposition to injustice and sinfulness, even to the point of the shedding blood. This is how the fruit of the victory, the fruit and the praise God is produced in our heart, just as shell make a pearl. He who bears the fruit of the Spirit is truly a son of God. God the Father asks us today, how would you answer God's questions? Have you shed precious tears in your life of faith that are pleasing to God? Have you shed the sweat of your brow for the physical world, for the spiritual world? Have you fought against injustice and sin, even to the point of shedding blood? Today, I wanted to follow in the footsteps of the Lord who shed his last blood, sweat, and tears in the Garden of Gethsemane, growing and giving his life for the redemption of us, creation, and all things. We have to remember that. Let's look at Luke chapter 22:44. And being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. And also, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, in the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplication with a loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his pity. Now, as the sons of God in the last days, we too are to fulfill our mission by shedding the blood, sweat, and tears of our Lord to bring about the release from the slavery of decay that creatures look forward to. Amen. The first, the true man of God never ceases to pray in tears. Although Jesus is God, he shed many tears when he came to earth in the flesh. The Bible records 2 places he wept. He wept over the death of Lazarus, Mary's brother, in John chapter 11, verse 33-35. And he wept when he saw the city of Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives. And you can see the Luke chapter 19, verse 41. But he wept not only two times, but his whole life on earth was one of unceasing prayers of tears, day after day in wailing and lamentation to the Father for our souls who have not seen him, who do not know him, who do not understand him, who does not believe him. It's like the fathers in Luke chapter 15 who wait in tears for his prodigal son who has run away from home, run away from him, father. After his son left, not a day went by that the fathers didn't have a peace of mind, wondering where his second son was going, where he was eating, where he was sleeping. We have to read the father's feelings as he consoles himself that no news is good news, but holds on tightly, unable to express his longing to see him anywhere. There was no announcement of the year, month, day, or hour of his arrival. The second son hadn't even left in advance, so how did the father know when the son returned? The father went out the entrance of the village waiting without any attempt to anticipate. It wasn't just today that he waited. He had not spent a single day without waiting since the son had left. His eyes were always on the entrance to the neighborhood. If he sees a human figure, he checks to make sure it's not his son. And finally, the son he wanted to see appeared. It was quite a distance away, but he came in complete disarray. But as soon as he saw his size and the way he walked, he knew at once that it was his son. Pity welled up in his heart, and he couldn't wait for his son to arrive. The father runs to his son until his shoes come off. He embraced his son, he who smelled like a pig feces, and kissed him not just once, but in the original language Greek, that the katapileo, which means to kiss much, to kiss again and again. So the father embraced his adored son and kissed those adored lips again and again and again. The father didn't offer any rebuke or words like "glad to see you" or "it's great" to return his son. He was simply overwhelmed by the fact that his son was alive and back. The tears of affection from a knowing father were displaying a love beyond the words. We receive and live this love from God every day. But are we loving the Father, the Lord, and the Church, the body of Jesus, with this passionate love? When you receive the word, are our eyes burning? When you sing hymns, are our eyes filled with the tears? When you pray, are our eyes too dry? If you are a true student of the Bible, you will realize that God's work from the fall of Adam to the present day is there has been a work of tears, and that's why every one of God's true men in the Bible was moved to tears as they carried out their assignments. The prophet Jeremiah, whom we know well, is nicknamed the prophet of tears. When he saw that the Israelites were about to be invaded by Babylon and slaughtered, he wept as he spoke words of the warning. But instead of the believing, the Israelites saw him as a spy for Babylon. Jeremiah is confessed as righteous in the Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 1. On them my head were waters, and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of a daughter of my people. So Jeremiah was a prophet who never ceased to pray to God with tears, a prophet who wept for his family, his country, and his people all his life, a prophet who never ceased to pray to God with tears, a prophet who preached and spoke the word of God whenever he had time. Did not King David also commit a great sin in his lifetime that could not be washed away, but at the urging of a man of God, he fell down in a moment and confessed his sins with tears and was forgiven. King Hezekiah was no different. He served God diligently, became arrogant, was sentenced to the death through the prophet Isaiah, and then fell down in astonishment, rubbing his forehead against the wall and praying in tears, and God saw him and extended his life by 15 years. In the 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 5, the God said, "I have seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord." Amen. Even in our repentance for our sins, there should be tears and praise of the lament like this. However, genuine repentance accompanied by tears in assured of receiving forgiveness or for anything. In Psalm chapter 32, verse 5, "I acknowledge my sin to thee, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and thou didst forgive the guilt of my sin." Hallelujah. When we repent with honestness and fervent tears, we are recognized by God as a sincere saint. Therefore, our heart should always be a house of mourning so that we can repent and pray to God with tears for forgiveness of sins. You can see that the Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 2 to 4. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, because that is the end of every man, and the living takes it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for when a face is sad, a heart may be happy, because they got the right directions. The second, simple man must sweat. Simple man must sweat. Simple man must sweat in order to eat. In the Genesis chapter 3, verse 19, "By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread." Sweating and laboring become the consequence of the curse given to the fallen ones. In the Genesis chapter 3, verse 17, "Then to Adam he saith, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I command you, saying, you shall not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life." Indeed, when God created, all that was need was to eat the fruit from the tree of God had provided. However, after the fall, the ground was cursed. The throne and the scissors were left behind, requiring sweat, labor, and clearing to produce fruit. So, according to the Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 3, "For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and do not sow among thorns." But the curse, the ground, isn't just the ground we see. It's the condition of our heart. God originally gave us a good soil, a good heart, but it has become corrupt and hard, a field of stones and a field of thorns. If we want to bring first the fruit of the life in our heart, we need to be clear our heart with divine tools. So is according to the Hosea chapter 10, verse 12 to 13, is that God talked to us. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes to rain righteousness on you. You have plowed wickedness, and you have lived injustice. You have eaten the fruit of lies. The divine tool is the God's word. When we grind our heart with the word, we must sweat and labor. We must ask God to engrave the word in our heart, and we must labor to crush our ugly self. We must work for the body, but we must also work for the spirit, for the Bible teaches, he who does not work should not eat. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, if anyone will not work, neither let him eat. Our job is to do God's work. According to the John chapter 5, verse 17, Jesus said, but he answered them, my Father is working until now, and I myself am working. Just as Jesus followed the fathers to carry out the redemption plan, we also, imitating Jesus, share the word of the final redemptions. This is to bear the yoke, toil, and sweat alongside the Lord as we labor. According to the Philippians chapter 4, verse 3, the Apostle Paul talked to us, true comrade, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel. Amen. Elders who exert themselves in preaching the gospel and the teaching for the church, that is, those who work diligently should not have a muzzle placed on their mouth like an ox. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17 to 18. You shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing, and the labor is worthy of his wages. Above all, we need to be like the Lord and sweat in prayer. When you pray wholeheartedly and honestly with all our heart and soul, sweat is bound to come out. Through evangelism, we should sweat and labor in the process of giving birth to new life, similar to the effort and the toil of childbirth. You can see that the Galatians chapter 4, verse 19, the Apostle Paul talked to the church of the Galatians, and I'm again in labor until Christ is formed in you. Every ounce of sweat and tears labor for the church is precious to God. The Apostle Paul saw the Timothy's tearful prayer for the church in the Ephesus as a labor. You can see the 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4. We should sweat in the task of praising and fulfilling the mission given by the Lord. Believe that God's blessing will come upon the place where sweat flows. Amen. The third, a true man of God must fight against sin, even to the point of shedding blood. According to the Hebrews chapter 12, 4, you have not yet resisted to the point of the shedding blood in your striving against the sin. God exhorts us to fight sin, but not to the point of the shedding blood if we are sons of God. And I give you another one, Revelation chapter 6, verse 9. And when he broke the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and because of the testimony which they had maintained. When the fifth seal is often the source of those who were is murdered because of the God's word are seen beneath the altar seeking vindication for their blood. In the same way, The shedding of blood signifies a stance of martyrdom, demanding a commitment to live with dedication and readiness. We are the receptants of the precious eternal life-giving blood that Jesus shed on the cross. Our heart have been transplanted with the heart that beat with Jesus' blood. We are those who carry the heart of Jesus within us. In the Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Those who have received the grace of Jesus' blood obey themselves before the word and grace, putting themselves to death daily, living only to manifest the glory of Jesus. So is Apostle Paul, is he confessor, is like that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31, I protest, brethren, by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. I die daily. And also he encouraged to us in the Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. The Apostle Paul reveals his martyrdom when he declares, I die daily. This is living martyrdom. It is not the dying and shedding blood, but by living and shedding blood with the spirit of martyrdom, and that those who fight against sin will be victorious. Shouldn't we, having received the sacred blood of the Lord, be fighting against sin? However, is it true that the quick feel of indulging in self-interest and committing sin against one another are all around us, causing us to shed blood without battling against sin? In Scripture, the Psalm chapter 3, verse 14 to 15, and Isaiah 59, verse 7 to 8 is warn to us. Whole mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Their feet are swift to shed blood. What a pity. For if we do not turn back and continue on our way, nothing but ruin and misery awaiting for us. There are the end times. The Jesus warning to us is Matthew chapter 24, verse 10 to 12. I like to read. And at the time, many will fall away and will deliver up one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. And because lowliness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. Please continue to pray for the churches of the world. Pray fervently that no one will fall into the trap of Satan. We are to love one another as brothers who share the same blood of the Lord. Amen. I like to read Romans chapter 14, verse 19. So then let us pursue the things which make the peace and the building up of one another. Building up of one another. Now that this hot summer will be over, the harvest season will soon be upon us. We must prepare the fruit that will be offered to God. Jesus warning to us, Matthew 21, verse 34, and when the harvest time approached, he sent his slaves to the vine growers to receive his produce. In order to be filled in our Master's hand at the harvest time, we must live by faith, shedding precious sweat, tears, and blood, as our text says. If we do not do our best, the vineyard entrusted to us will be given over to another farmers who will bring in the fruit in time. According to the Matthew chapter 21, verse 41, they said to him, he will bring those riches to a riches end and will rent out the vineyard to other vine growers who will pay him the proceeds at the proper seasons. May the candlestick of God not be removed from us, and may we be the saint who pour out our tears, sweat, and blood for the cause and bear the precious fruit that our Heavenly Father desires. Amen. Let's pray together. Thank you for reminding us of our faith through your precious words today. Please make us shed the holy blood, sweat, and the tears of Jesus Christ, and also make us all plunge into the labor of shedding blood, sweat, and tears for the will and the glory of the Father will until we go to the kingdom that we have received. We have become lax in our faith. Please reorient our heart with the words you have given us today, so that we will always strive for prayer, so that we will not end up in the ruin and the misery, and so that we will live our faith with joyfulness in all things. Since the Father has entrusted us with the mission of the Son in the last days, please enable us to hear the cries of all creation. Open our spiritual ears to listen the sigh of the saints and empower us to take responsibility for the final mission of delivering them from suffering. Hold us then the blood, sweat, and tears of your holy Lord may not be in vain. We ask this is all in all our prayers in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. I'd like to give some announcement. First one, as we follow today's given word, we wish to be those who share the holy blood, sweat, and tears and become sons acknowledged by the Father. Amen. And the last one, the inspection of the wiring at the church for the fire alarm has been completed successfully. There will be a final check by the fire department. Please pray for its successful completion too. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. We'll close the service with the benedictions. Now, through the grace of our Savior Jesus Christ, and the immense and the great love of God the Father, and the inspiring, the indwelling, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, having now received the blood, sweat, and tears of the Lord, let us commit to dedicating our lives in faithful service to the Lord's labor. Be with us in our church, home, business, and workplace, and over the heads of the bowed saints from this time forth and forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah.